Let me pray for us as we begin. Father, every time we come to your word, we long for you to speak, and we thank you that you do. So please be with us now as we take a few minutes to think about this passage. Please, as we thought with the kids, would it not just be stuff that lodges in our head, but would it come down all the way to our heart? And would your transforming love make us anew? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me add my welcome again. And I wonder if you know that it has been 26 years since Eminem first announced he had a problem. Do you remember it? April 2000, he took to the mic, "May I have your attention, please? Will the real Slim Shady please stand up?" I bet you can sing the rest of it in your head. But his song, it was a response to people all over the world who were suddenly pretending to be him. It kind of riffs off a catchphrase that was a TV show at the time. Contestants had to spot who was a real and who was a fake. It was his way of poking fun, if you like, at all of those suddenly copying the way he looked, copying the way he spoke, copying the way he rapped. And he wanted to make sure that the real version was clear. Fast forward with me to this week and the tragic shooting of a lady in the US. Social media was rife with different claims about the identity of the policeman who did it. You might have seen this on BBC News. The real image is the one on the left. But the guy's wearing a mask, and so loads of people turned to AI to come up with different ideas of what he might look like in real life. The problem with each of the ones on the right, well, they look different. The bigger problem is that none of them are real. They are all computer-generated guesses. Now, it's annoying for Eminem when others stole his look. It's dangerous when AI might point you to the wrong person. And yet, here's the thing. The problem is even bigger when it comes to Jesus' identity. Because if we get it wrong or we tweak him a little bit, the consequences are eternal. So over the next few weeks, we're going to go on a little journey from Jesus in the stable to Jesus on the street through the opening stages of his ministry. And what our passage does for us today is open our eyes again to who he really is. And then it calls us to respond. The key headline that I hope we might see together is that Jesus really is God's Son and the Trinity declares. If it helps you, there are a few little headings on the back of our church family news sheet. But do grab your Bibles and come back with me to Matthew chapter 3. The first part of it, Matthew opens with John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus to come. It is 26 AD. And in verse 13, the camera flashes to the brow of the hill as Jesus makes his first appearance as an adult. Let's read it again together. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. The geography teachers will tell you, Jesus has walked 70 miles from Galilee to get here. The theologians will point out he's come even further than that, down from heaven. But pause for a moment. And if you were in John's sandals at this point, how would you react? To put it another way, what kind of a Jesus do you want? People rarely kind of reject Jesus outright, but I wonder if we might so easily reshape him into the kind of version that fits what we want. John's got to make up his mind as to who this guy is. I was thinking this week of all the different ways that our culture can kind of twist or steal Jesus' identity. I've got a few more thought I might go through with you. But have a look at these and see which one you might slip into. Here's the first three. Self-help or therapy Jesus. Here's a Jesus who exists to boost your well-being, to validate your feelings, to bring you inner peace. He's always gentle and will help you to be your best self. So this Jesus is basically a spiritual personal trainer. You know, one who rarely challenges or confronts you. He's just there to help your emotional life. Or maybe there's spiritual guru Jesus. You know, he's one mystical teacher among many. He's full of universal wisdom. In fact, he sits really nicely alongside the Buddha in your garden and the mindfulness book on the Kindle. He's got loads of vague, kind of inspirational sayings, but he's there to be admired, not worshipped. What about life coach Jesus? You know, here's a Jesus who's got a book full of kind of tips to help you succeed. So he'll help you set goals, he'll encourage you to keep going with good habits, he'll offer you good principles for a better marriage. He's kind of useful. But life coach Jesus isn't Lord. Here's a popular one. What about ticket to heaven Jesus? You know, Jesus is like the cashier at the checkout. So, you know, I put in prayer, he's got to give me salvation. You know, ticket to heaven Jesus is like an eternal insurance policy. You know, he claims to save my soul and makes no difference to the way I live today. What about good teacher Jesus? It's quite a good one, isn't it? This kind of Jesus is... comes straight out of the average RE lesson in a school. He inspires kindness and compassion and justice. He's full of timeless moral insights. But, well, this Jesus is only ever a good example. His miracles, his resurrection, they're kind of optional, awkward optional extras. He's well respected, but he's not God. Did you ever slip into those kind of views of Jesus? Do you want a few more? Great, I've put them together. Here we go. Here are some other versions of Jesus. I think we can slip into believing. Safety net Jesus. You know, a Jesus you could ignore until life collapses. You know, he's like the spiritual AA man. I was in a pub on Friday night talking to a guy who said he's a pretty ardent atheist, but he's just had some newborn children. And one of them was not breathing for a long time. And he said, I went straight to God to ask him for his help. I did say to him, I said, mate, you'll write my illustration on Sunday morning. And he said, fine. So, Stephen, when you listen back, this is your moment. It's like, Jesus is the AA. I'm in a problem. Help me out. Great, I don't need you anymore. Let's keep going. You know, he's a wish-granting kind of spiritual vending machine. He's a crisis respondent, not a daily Lord. Respectable church Jesus. You know, here's a Jesus who fits nicely into polite society. He loves old hymns and stained glass and traditions. He hates disruption, new things, and most things that involve tech. You know, this kind of Jesus exists to keep things stable and predictable and comfortable. Or a popular one, cozy Christmas Jesus. He's cute, isn't he? He's harmless, he's lovable, he's sentimental. But he lives forever in the nativity scenes. He is permanently a baby. He never grows up. He never preaches. He certainly never dies for your sins. Or flip it the other way. We can move from sentimental Jesus to moral policeman Jesus. I think often this is how we can think about him too. You know, he's the guy who exists to enforce the rules. So he is always on the lookout for your mistakes. And he's got a big tally chart. Yeah, that's the face. Brilliant. He's got a big tally chart where he never misses a thing. He's much more interested in how you look on the outside than to what's going on in here. You're always affirming Jesus. Here's number 10. Here's the Jesus who always agrees with you. He never confronts your choices. He conveniently agrees with all of your opinions. In fact, he functions like this divine echo chamber that allows you to live how you want. What about you? Which one or ones feel a bit close to home? Or maybe that you see in other people? The problem is, they are all fakes. So will the real Jesus Christ please stand up? In fact, that's what he does in our passage. If you look back at verse 11, you'll see exactly what John thinks of him. Beforehand, speaking to the crowd, he says, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." John knows who Jesus truly is. And so when he looks up and sees this guy coming over the hill, listen to his response, quite profound. John, the big deal preacher, John, the guy that people flock to see in the wilderness, John, the one the religious hotshots have come to visit, knows immediately who is in charge. In fact, he tries to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me." It's more of a statement than a question. John knows who's in charge. It's like King Charles turning up at your door and asking if he can make you a cup. It's not how it's supposed to work, is it? He's the king. But John's attempts, well, they fade away. In fact, Jesus says it needs to be done, verse 15. He says, "Let it be done, for it's proper to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Jesus speaks and John obeys. Because his baptism's got an important role to play in the mission he came to repeat. He's come to fulfill all of the Old Testament promise. Now rewind to those versions of Jesus. You know, I think the thing that's really dangerous about these Jesuses is that each of them contain a little bit of truth. Jesus is wise, he is compassionate, he is a good example, he is a safety net. He does tell us the right way to live, he is morally inspiring, and yet each of them miss something vital about him because they shrink him down to a manageable size that I can put in my pocket and tuck away in the cupboard. He makes him safe and convenient. And so we have to tell he's always a God of love. He's never going to call us to repentance or sacrifice or change. Or, well, he's always a God of judgment who never stoops to be a compassionate saviour or a redeemer. They both miss the whole thing. They reduce him to a role rather than receiving him as a king. And, well, our passage reminds us that Jesus really is God's Son and the whole Trinity declared. I was having a bit of fun with this passage this week, so humour me for a moment. Because before we move on, just notice one more thing. You can do a little test when you get home. But if you ask Google for the lowest point of land on planet Earth, do you know where it will take you? The lowest point of land on planet Earth will take you here. It is the shoreline of the Dead Sea bordering Israel, the West Bank and Jordan. It is the place where Jesus was baptized. It is the lowest point of land on earth. It's ground zero, if you like. On his mission to save us from our sins, Jesus starts at the very lowest point on the planet. He descended as low as it is possible to go to make sure all of us are invited when he rises to offer forgiveness. I love how one person put it. They said, "Jesus joined us in our mess so that we could join him in his family." In a world full of fakes, isn't that the Jesus you really want? Well, let's keep going and we'll finish with our final two verses. Do you see the real Jesus we get? Verses 16 and 17. Matthew's on this mission to show us who he really is. We're into the first few verses of his ministry and the sheer scale of his identity is kind of exploding off the page. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water and at that moment, heaven was opened. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased." chatting with a few people about jobs this over the past couple of weeks. If you've ever applied for the job, you'll know the value of a good reference. You know, letting slip that you were known as the wheelbarrow in an old job because you only ever worked when pushed isn't an ideal thing. But showing, turning up for work and finding out that your dad has chipped in with a divine endorsement, your dad who happens to be, you know, the almighty God of the universe, is quite a good start for your role, yeah? This isn't a low-key entrance. This is heaven declaring the real Jesus. As the Holy Spirit, if you track with me from verse 16, descends on Jesus in the form of a dove, Acts describes it as his anointing. And it's followed by a voice. It reminds me last year, actually, police in Sao Paulo made an astonishing discovery about a retired judge. Edward Albert Lancelot Dodd Canterbury Caterham Wickfield, as well as having an incredible name, was a well-respected son of English aristocrats. He'd served for 23 years as a judge in Sao Paulo. The only problem was, none of it was true. The guy's real name is Jose Eduardo Franco dos Reis, but he'd created a false birth certificate back in the 80s and faked it for 4 decades. In fact, he was only found when he tried to renew his ID card, and police found his fingerprints actually matched another name. He'd hijacked a name and a title. He tricked his way into a position of power. Matthew wants us to know that Jesus has not done that. To make sure we know who Jesus really is, God speaks from heaven to tell us who this guy really is. It's one of the only 2 times in the New Testament where we hear God the Father speak, and it is this colossal confirmation that Jesus is his unique, beloved Son with whom he is well pleased. Let me try and join up the dots for us. Because it might be you're here and you've always kind of thought of God as this distant, impersonal force. Or maybe a lonely old guy in the sky. Would you allow this passage to show you something wonderfully so much more? Because here we have God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. At the heart of the universe is not a cold space, it's not just dark matter. But at the heart of reality is this triune, relational God that have always existed in perfect unity together. God has never been eternally alone, but ultimate reality is the Father delighting in the Son being sent forth on a mission, the Spirit descending to anoint him for that. In fact, if you've got a sheet, there's a little note there. God isn't a thing to know facts about. He is 3 persons we get to know for ourselves who walk off the pages of Scripture. Is your hope in them today? If you'd like to find out more, we've got a Hope Explored course coming up soon. We would love you to come and join us. But as we see Jesus at the very beginning of his ministry being baptized, well, it may be you're here and you'd call yourself a Christian, but you've never thrown your all in with Jesus. Can I invite you to do that today? Each time we meet, we kind of expect God to be at work, reminding us of truths we so easily forget, encouraging us, sustaining us, calling us to follow his Son. This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Let me encourage you to listen in on God's verdict on his Son and to listen to what he says. Just as Jesus was baptized, he calls all of those who trust him to take that step as well. Being baptized, it's a public declaration, if you like, of what God is already doing inside us. Where we claim his eternal assurance of life. It might be that's the right next step for you. To find out more with Hope Explored, to commit to it with baptism, come and chat with me. We live in a world where there are lots of fake versions of Jesus. They are offered up to us all the time. Each of them appeal in different ways. Each of them twist the truth in different ways. But the real Jesus stands up from the waves of his baptism in Matthew 3, and the Trinity declare together, he really is God's Son. And we've got to choose how we respond. Let me hand over to you for a moment. How does this help you to live differently? What might be stopping you making that change? Let me give you just a moment.